Hi, and welcome to Happiness Through Hardship, the podcast, where we share positive stories and suggestions about finding hope, resources, and connections to help us all get through hard times. I'm Karen Sullivan, a mom, an author, and a stage 4 cancer patient who's always looking around me for inspiration. I believe in surrounding myself with people and experiences that make me smile. And that's what I'm hoping to do for you today. So grab your favorite drink, get cozy, and let's get started. I am so excited for you to meet Lauren Gordon, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube influencer, podcast host, and storytelling entrepreneur, who is also a girl mom of three. Lauren's traveled across the world to discover purpose and happiness in motherhood and simultaneously became a fast-growing business mentor. She strives to help others create their dream lives. She can be found in Forbes and Entrepreneur Magazine, as well as on her podcast where she teaches women to be successful in both work and life. With specializations in parenting, wellness, beauty, and fashion, Lauren has come today to give an overview of how to create a life that you truly love. Lauren, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I could talk about today's topics forever and ever, as you probably know. So I'm so excited to get into it.
Well, I'm excited. And I want the listeners to know what is so fun about technology and really fun about podcasting is my guest, this guest, Lauren, here today. Well, first of all, I love her for not just the topic she talks about, but because, you know, drum roll, please, does anybody know where I grew up? Because I do talk about it quite a bit. I grew up in the Midwest. And I grew up in Minnesota. And Lauren, while she lives in Australia right now, she spent most of her childhood in
Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin and northern Wisconsin Superior, actually, which is close to Duluth. And as a child, I used to go to Duluth because it was a few hour drive away and it was just kind of fun on the Great Lakes. So anyway, that's a fun little note, but she is, it's actually tomorrow for me, for her right now, because they're, what are you, 15 hours ahead of us? You're in Sydney, right?
So we're going into, as well, we're recording this, we are going into our summer. You are somewhat
going into the winter, right?
Yeah. I believe it's 15 or 16 hours right now difference.
Yes. Yeah. So it's always challenging to find the time to talk to someone. If anybody caught, I did an episode last year with Jennifer Neeson, who lives in Germany, I should say, and Becky, who lives in Australia. And so for us trying to bring that together with the three different time zones was challenging, but we did it. Like, that's the beauty of technology. And if somebody wants to wake up really early or stay up really late. So anyway, so we digress. Welcome to the podcast. Listeners, I'm so excited to have this conversation. I think, hopefully you will be too. But what I want to open up with is a quote that Lauren used in her guide. And let me tell you, she is, you know, she's an inspiration in so many things. Business, motherhood. We said fashion. I love to talk fashion. But what stuck with me is she wrote this dream life guide. And, you know, at first I thought, like, you think of dream life. Some people might think of, When I Wish Upon a Star is a dream and very Disney-esque. Other people kind of, you know, when you're in the middle age and you're just running through all the schedules you have for yourself, for your family, you know, for sure your kids, or even if you're not a mom, if you're somebody who just lives a very busy life, sometimes we forget about our dreams, or we may not even realize what they are. So what she said here is, quote, "Every time I felt stuck, don't know which way to turn, am struggling to make a decision, or even the times I couldn't quite put my finger on it, I use this guide. But the first and most important step is to get clear on what it is that you actually want, which is what most people don't know." And that, to me, really stuck out because I can't even begin to tell you how many conversations I had. Even, you know, I left corporate 10 years ago at this point, and I remember conversations having with either my mentors or with those who came to me for some guidance. And we talk about next jobs, we talk about our career trajectory, and some people would be like, I don't even know what I want. And now fast forward to the conversations that I might have on the sidelines at a sporting event with my friends who are the parents of my kids' friends. And we're also sitting there saying, you know, we've been so conditioned in our ways to follow the road that's put in front of us. And that's sometimes great if you're really happy, and sometimes great even if you're just okay with it. But when, you know, when is it that we look at our dreams or even think about having dreams? Like, what time, what point is that? And so I guess my question to you is not so much when is the point. My guess is that would be different for everybody. But for those people who actually, when you start talking about dreams or what they want next, maybe you don't even use the big word, the big D word, right? What do you say to people when they're like, I don't even know what I want?
Yeah. Oh, there's so many directions I could go with this. So the big thing, the overarching thing that I see with most people is they're living in autopilot, which maybe you can relate if when you were in corporate, maybe that was, you know, a way that you saw your life going. You were like living on autopilot, never stopping, never creating that space for yourself to even ask yourself the questions to lead you to that clarity, right? And people wonder why they wake up and they're like, I'm not happy, I'm not fulfilled. Well, you haven't stopped and taken a breath in how many years. You know, you've been living on autopilot, you've been living life in the fast lane, right? And so when I'm in conversation, whether it's a friend, a family member, a client, and they've already come to that realization that, wait a second, I want something different. The question that I start with is, and I'm going to tell you why it's this question, but the question I always start with is, if nothing bad could happen to those that you love, what would you do next? The reason I start with that question, it's when you hear it, it's like, well, why that question? It's kind of a weird one. But the reason why is because behind that question, the problem that's under a lot of layers for a lot of people that I find is they think that if they go after the thing that they might want, or if they even go start to think about wanting something else, they immediately go to, oh my God, but what about my kids? What about my family? They think they'll let somebody down. Something terrible will happen to those around them that they care about. Right. And so this question, it's a really vulnerable one for so many people to dive into, but it's one that opens up so many realizations, really radically honest realizations. For me, it did so many times. I've asked myself this so many times. And a lot of times for me, like you, right, when we're mothers, we have kids, it usually comes down to our kids. It's like, you know, well, who am I to go and, you know, try to change up, you know, my life right now or pursue something different when I have these responsibilities, I have these kids, I have this partner, like, things aren't bad, but they're not, but I'm not fulfilled, you know?
And I think that's,
yeah,
a lot of people may not even be unhappy per se. They're just, they're in this routine and they, you know, I think what became clear is when you said you can't put your finger on it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're happy. You love your kids. You love going to whatever activities they have. You love, and you want your life the way it is, but something is missing or something is nagging at you and you just don't know what that is. And, you know, for many times, I think this comes with reflection at those various times, like, oh, you've got a big birthday coming up. Mm-hmm. Am I where I want to be? Or sometimes when something really good happens to someone, you know, or really bad happens to something, you know, you think, okay, wow, life is so fragile. What do I want? What do I really want? Now, I like this question of like, if everybody else were to be safe in my life, if it wouldn't tremendously affect them in a bad way, because then what would I want to do? But yeah. Say you asked me that right now, how do you break it down and get more granular? Because I think I might pause at a question like that, or I might not be ready to jump into the vulnerability of like, you know, if I don't know, the answer may not come right away. Yeah. What do you suggest then?
What makes you happy? And I know it's so cliche. Like, I know it's such a cliche question, but what's so funny is so many people don't even know the answer to that. Like, you will come to that. You will come to that answer. But so many people, I asked this to a close friend actually, like a week ago, and he's a very, by the way, very successful person, like from the outside, one of those typical people you look at from the outside kind of has everything, so to speak. Right.
Yes. Right.
But he knows what I do, obviously. And we have this kind of, you know, we have a very mutual give and take kind of relationship. We help each other out. And and he came to me and he's like, I just ask you something. You know, I can't really put my finger on it, but you know, there's something missing. Something isn't there. Not really sure what. And I'm like, in this season of life, what makes you happy? And before you even let your brain go to the place of, well, I like this, but I like this, but, because that's what our brain does, right? Well, think of the thing, the first thing that comes to your mind, you'll think of it. It'll come to you. That's what happens. But then your brain goes, yeah, but that can't be the thing. That can't be it, right? Because this, and this. We think it's like, here's what I stand for. I stand for this belief that when we go after the things that make us happiest, AKA the things, you know, that create our dream life vision, everyone around us thrives. I don't believe it's selfish ever. I don't care if you're a mom, if you have young kids like me, I believe there's a reality where everybody can go after the thing that makes them the happiest, follow their interests, follow their intuition, and nobody around you has to suffer. Nobody around you has to get the short end of the stick. I've seen it in all kinds of different walks of life, all kinds of different people. That's what I believe. And I know it's a little bit, you know, some people might not agree with that, but that's what I believe. Well, yeah.
And I think in some ways, many of the things that one might like or like to do, you can share with your kids. And I think some of that happens naturally. In my household, my husband loves baseball. He played it when he was younger. He worked in baseball for 15 years. And guess right now who at almost 15 years old plays baseball, loves baseball, talks about baseball, follows every single, you know, specialty baseball, you name it, on social media? My son. So I think, you know, that's an example of you can love something and you can bring it into the family. I think when I started out my company, Pretty Wellness, where I talked about, you know, wellness, happiness, very similar to topics we talk about here on the podcast, I brought my son in, involved him in things. So I think that there's a way and there's a place that naturally sometimes that happens. Although I do think sometimes we're still really catering to the child in that. And so not necessarily us, and that's still a good thing, but it may end up being not going in a direction which would bring one, I think, the most, you know, me doing my, back in the day, I did Pretty Wellness TV on YouTube, and Kyle, my son, would do the videos with us, and, you know, every video is like 5-10 minutes, not very long, but you know that took 3.5-4 hours, and it got to be more like work, not me hanging out and having fun with my son, you know, because he was young and, you know, he wanted to eat the food that was in front of us or whatnot. And so we did have a good bonding time a little bit, but, you know, the message there is like, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But I think you're right. Asking people what makes them happy now, and you said they don't always know, but how do you suggest they figure it out?
So one of this was life-changing for me. So I just to give a little tidbit of a sliver of my story. 2.5 years ago, I lost my dad to suicide. I don't know if that's a topic you've ever discussed on this podcast, but we lost my dad after years of mental health battles, addiction, all kinds of things. And for the first time in a long time in my life, I had a newborn, and then I had a, 1.5-year-old and a 3.5-year-old. Crazy. Yeah. But like, that season of motherhood where, I mean, everybody needs you 24/7. Your brain is just consumed with everybody else's needs, right? And we lost him. And that following month, I had for the first time in years, I didn't know what I liked. I felt like I didn't really know who I was. I felt like I hated my business all of a sudden, which had never happened. I felt completely disconnected from myself. Who am I? What do I want? Oh my gosh, you know, dealing with grief. And I mean, just, you know how it is. So what I did was I asked myself that first. I was like, okay, let me just go back to the drawing board. What makes me happy? Let me just start there. Let me try to keep it simple. But then, like you said, sometimes that question poses then more confusion when it's supposed to bring clarity. So where do you go from there? So I myself couldn't answer that question. I was like, I don't know. Obviously my kids make me happy, but beyond that, I don't really know. So what I went back to instead, and this is the next step I always recommend people go to, is, okay, if you're not quite sure what makes you happy, then what are you just naturally interested in? What are the things that you gravitate towards without even thinking? Because here's the cool thing. We live our days, right? We go on with our lives. We live every day. If nobody told you to do anything, what are the things that you would naturally do? And I know when you hear that question, some people would be like, well, I'd sit on the couch and I'd watch movies all day. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the things
But let me jump in and say, though,
yeah,
if you are a person that wants to jump on the couch all day and watch movies, then maybe if you start a podcast where you talk about movies or you talk about shows all the time.
Right.
I mean, back in the day when everybody left and right had a blog, mm-hmm. I worked with somebody at ESPN who loved Lost. Now, Lost also was an ABC. They're all owned by the Walt Disney Company. And she was really good at analyzing. So she'd watch the episode. And then within 24 hours, she would write all her analysis of the TV show. And, you know, everybody that loved Lost followed it. And she got kind of a big following from it. I think you could do that if you love whatever it is you love. Like, I joke around and listeners know I love Days of Our Lives.
Yeah.
I listen to it. And when I got the honor of meeting the head writer, Ron, a year ago. And I said to him, I'm like, yeah, I really listen to it. And he's like, what? What do you mean you listen to it? He said it very respectfully. And I said, well, because I'm kind of very busy, I can't sit in front of the TV at whatever time and watch the show, but I have it on Peacock, the app, which is on my phone. I put on my AirPod. I do the dishes. I make dinner. And because soap operas, I've been watching them soap operas have been around since like the 1940s, 50s. And because I've been listening to or watching it for so long, I know the voices and the characters. Like, I don't need to see what they're doing. It is, you know, it's like radio in my ear. So I jump in to say there that, like, as you're saying, what do you naturally love doing? What do you gravitate to? Mm-hmm. I could probably challenge anybody to, you know, you love rocks. Yeah. Well, maybe you take photos of rocks and start an Instagram account about rocks, right? I think there's so much that one can do with the easy technology that we have if you want to do something with it.
Yeah, that's the thing. And no, I love that you said that. Yeah, because I have heard a lot of people say, well, you know, the natural gravitation is to not work or it's not to do anything. And it's like, but can we change the perspective for a minute? What if the thing that you're doing, I'm sure you've heard this, the thing that you're doing doesn't feel like work, right? I don't know about you, but for me, talking about these things does not feel like work, but I would categorize this as work. This is on my to-do list for work today. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We've been conditioned. Like I've honestly never, ever, like I'm grateful to somehow have never really subscribed to this idea that work is just to pay the bills or work. It's okay if you don't like what you do, as long as your life is covered and things are taken care of. I've never, like, I probably have my parents to thank for that somehow, but I've just never bought into that. I've never believed that. And even now, more so with, like you said, technology, there's honestly, I might go as far to say there's no excuse. There really isn't. It's possible to take any interest that you have and make it the thing that you do for the majority of your time.
Well, and again, for those who are listening, if that's what you want,
right?
If you want to stay in your job, because listen, there are many people out there that have to work a job or two. Yeah. And, you know, there are situations where one may not have a lot of choices they may not have a lot of choices, but they do have some choices and they do have some time. If they're looking for ways to make their life better, maybe it isn't new work. Maybe it's, you know, asking yourself what makes you happy and finding a few minutes a day to do that. Maybe it's just watching Days of Our Lives, not writing about it, not podcasting about it, right? Maybe it's, you know, I don't know, like throw out that there. I think we come to this, whatever the dream life is or the life we want to live, there are seasons. As you said, there are seasons for things. And this season might be a season that's super, super, super busy. But, I think I want to jump to, we might be a little across the board, but in various seasons, you still have to figure out how to take care of yourself within that season. And so I want to ask you, when it comes to taking care of yourself, what do you see in terms of like red flags for things people are doing that might hinder them going down a different direction? or red flags, and also what are strategies like to help people balance or juggle? Because it's not always a balance. Or the analogy I like to use is, how do you dance through a heavy and hard time while still trying to be, I mean, that really is the essence of this podcast, Happiness Through Hardship. For those who are new to me, I'm a two-time breast cancer survivor. I am living, and I'd like to say thriving, with stage four disease. And so I know hardship. I know hardship for me. And you know what? The last, 2023 was an incredibly trying and hard and stressful and full of tears, scary time. That being said, I also found some joy. And so I ask you, in a sense of when people, whether it's work, whether it's personal life, whether they're in just a tight, stressful season, you know, one, what are the red flags that people should look out for to take better care of themselves? And then two, how do they do this dance of doing what they need to do, but also finding some of that time so that they can get closer to a little bit of joy in their life?
There's so many, I have so many things I want to say on this. I think the first place we'll go with this is your environment. And this is what I didn't necessarily take so seriously up until, honestly, maybe 2 years ago, when I felt like I was coming up for air after having back-to-back babies, and my house being a disaster all the time. I kind of just got to a place where I was kind of accepting that. And I was intentionally prioritizing, playing with the kids on the floor. The dishes could stay in the sink for another 6 hours or whatever. But here's what I see a lot of people dealing with. Their environment, whether it be the physical environment, right? So their home, their rooms, how the actual visuals of what they're surrounded by, or it's their office or physical environment, AKA the people. But let's just start there, because I know the problem for a lot of people is they don't realize the impact of the environment. So I got to a place where I was feeling, extreme anxiety like every day. And I couldn't really pinpoint where it was coming from. But I work from home, right? As you understand this, I work from home. Essentially I'm the primary parent, so to speak, right? I'm in this same environment every day. So whether you listening are, in a corporate job and you're in the same setting every day in that sense, or you're a stay-at-home mom, or you're a work from home, whatever your environment is on a day-to-day basis, I want you to look at that. Really honestly look at that and ask yourself, am I on a regular basis, like most of the time, am I happy in my environment? And if there's nothing that you can do, so to speak, as in you can't, change your whole office, on the fly, or you know what I'm saying? There are little things that I think people don't realize they can do, like very subtle shifts. Like it could be as simple as hanging up this picture. Like I realized our kitchen was not a space that I didn't feel nourished in. I didn't feel like it. I felt it was dark. It was, something was missing. Right. So I went down that path of what could help me feel more happy in this space, right? What could intentionally shift the way I feel immediately when I step into this space. And it was, I found this little picture frame from IKEA, and it says, it's okay to slow down. And it's a little colorful sloth, and it's the most eclectic thing. But
as you say this, I am lighting up, because one of my favorite books ever, and on it really speaks to the topic you're talking about, is called The Holistic Guide to Decluttering. It's by Michelle Vig.
Yeah.
For those who, I'll put it in the show notes. The book is about, we all think of decluttering like, yes, declutter your space. What she talks about is yes. And she is a decluttering expert. And also she beautifies, to your point, she helps beautify spaces. And she believes that, yes, the clutter around us in our environment is so important. And that oftentimes leads to, like, we've got clutter in our minds. We've got clutter with our time. And so sometimes to start with decluttering your space, to not only just, get the things out that you don't need anymore. It is kind of freeing. When I've decluttered my closet, and I've used the steps in her book to do a lot of the things that we are even talking about here, is you're even just decluttering your closet alone, you get to then see what your clothes are. You get to see the items that, like, oh, I love that outfit. It makes me happy. Sounds silly, but like the picture you were talking about in your kitchen, it is a place that you go every single day. And to be able to once my closet wasn't such a mess anymore, every time I walked in there, I felt I had a different feeling than when I had to sift through this little space to try and find things. I get annoyed, it drop on my foot, and that's just a closet. So if you are working from home, which, you know, a lot more people do now, you know, or even if you just have a space that you spend regularly, to one, declutter it so that you know where things are, but two, also to, I call it beautify it, to find something that you love in it so that you're smiling, repainting a room, a color that makes you laugh. Now, again, are these going to change the trajectory of your life? Well, I don't know, maybe not. But when we're talking, you know, we're talking here about the, you're in a stressful season, and so you may not be able to change things, I don't want to say alarmingly, drastically, as you're juggling through or dancing through, but to bring more joy, make sure the environment that you're in is more soothing for you, or, you know, brings you that feeling you want to feel. Maybe you want to feel zen. Maybe you don't. Maybe you want to feel party, fun time. So you're paint your office like bright pink and white. I don't know. But that got me really excited. So I'm just saying, I love that advice there.
Yeah. And look, I'm sure you know this, you've heard this, your thoughts create your feelings create your actions. So yeah, you could say that, you know, beautifying your space, whatever that is for you, might not change the trajectory of your life, but it might, in the sense that, okay, if you are consistently feeling the feelings of joy, just because you have done something little extra, different to your space that you're in every day, whether it's your closet, whether it's your home office, whether it's your cubicle, whatever it may be. If you're consistently feeling new feelings of joy and peace, and maybe even healing, right? Maybe that's what my spaces feel like to me. And that's what I always require them to feel. I have the standard. All my spaces have to feel healing in some way, because we're always healing. There's never an end to that. Let's just say that. Yeah. But my point in saying that is, if you are consistently feeling feelings of joy and happiness and peace, you're going to take different actions as a byproduct.
Right. I agree. And then I would suspect you'd say, as a red flag, like if you're consistently feeling stress, feeling negative, irritated with people, you know, sometimes it's like it just becomes routine because you're doing the same things over and over again. That's when you maybe take a step back and ask some of the questions you said at the top. Yeah. Or go online to your Get the Dream Guide. And there's even more questions where people can ask themselves the questions, write them down, journal them to try and figure out like what might the next step be for you. So let me turn the tables a little bit. Like, what makes you happy right now?
Oh my gosh. So I'm all about being just, my past 6 years of kind of sharing my life online has just, my whole philosophy has been like taking my audience along for the ride. I've never been the one to kind of share the successes once I get there. I like taking people along, and that includes taking my people along for the seasons where everything is like, oh my God. And I go through the hard stuff. Like I just share both sides of life. And like right now, everything we've talked about here is, I mean, I walk my talk. Everything I teach and say, I've either done or I'm currently doing myself. And yeah, the thing that makes me happiest right now that was really hard for me for a while to come to terms with was being just mom. And I know you guys can't see this video, but I just did quote fingers, because in this society we live in, we're in this society that somehow has, I feel we've lost we can't see the value as much as we could, you know, some decades ago, the value in motherhood, in raising the next generation of humans. And women are, you know, pressured to be all the things and wear all the hats and be equal workers to men and da, da, da. I personally have experienced burnout of trying to spread myself way too thin. I've seen so many incredible women and mothers do the same, like on accident. So I share that to say, what makes me happiest right now in life in this season is parenting. And it took me probably a whole year. Like, this is the same year I lost my dad. That year was just a whole entire wake up call for me. And it was the year where I realized I still love my work and I want to do what I do, but I want to do it differently, because my priority, my baby is no longer my business. My baby is my baby's. And I don't want to, like, I don't identify with the whole, you know, hustle 24/7, girl boss, like I used to be that. I could easily work 10, 11, 12 hours a day, like 7 days a week. And when I woke up one day and I was like, I do not want that. I'm burnt out. I'm exhausted. It was an identity crisis. And it was a matter of like, I had to sit down and ask myself, well, if that's not me anymore, because that was me for 3-4 years before having kids, who am I now? Like, I can't just be mom. I can't just do that because that doesn't feel right either. So, oh my gosh, it was a whole, like that whole year, I had this internal battle that I was fighting, and I finally came to peace with the fact that I'm going to still be both, so to speak, but I'm going to do it in a different way where I'm prioritizing the thing that makes me the happiest, which is being a mom.
Well, and I think so many people, or I can speak for myself, I constantly am, I'm so conditioned to be that girl boss. That's how I believe I found much of my success in corporate, was by working so much, by, you know, of course, caring immensely and enjoying all the, you know, all the efforts I was putting in most of the time, right? And it's hard then when you change directions to not work that way.
Yeah.
And it, because it comes so, or, you know, or maybe you change a lot of habits.
Yeah.
And then you get thrown into another situation, and even though you've changed habits, you want to go back a different way. So do you have any habits or routines that keep you focused on your biggest priority, or even yet like being happy and healthy and moving one foot in front of the other while focused on that?
I have this. So it all comes down to your core beliefs, your core, I call it your foundation of beliefs. So I'll just share some of mine. You can take from this what you want, leave what, I always say to my clients, take what resonates, leave what doesn't. So one of the biggest beliefs that gets me through every day and allows me to lay my head on the pillow, feeling peace, feeling happiness, feeling fulfilled, is whatever I got done today was what was supposed to get done today. And that, and I've shared that with so many clients over the years, because if you're that natural worker, go-getter, you know, goal setter, visionary type person, it's so easy to get to the end of your days and be like, this is still on my to-do list. I didn't get this done. I suck. I'm a procrastinator. And you go into this whole whirlwind of, you know, just beating yourself up or feeling stressed, feeling anxious. So I decided one day I'm done with that. I don't want to feel that anymore. So my new belief, what I'm going to believe now from this point forward, is whatever I got done today, whatever happened today was supposed to happen today. And it was not supposed to get done, or it was supposed to get done. And that's the end of the story. And I'm going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to do the same thing again. And that has brought so much peace, like so much peace to my day to day.
I also think what has helped me on that lane, will say, is when I have a to-do list and I don't get through, I oftentimes take it and move it to another day. Mm-hmm. And then, just the visual of, and that goes back to my to-do list. Did this really have to get done today? Well, no, it didn't. But sometimes maybe it kind of had to get done. And so there's extra work to figure out what you need to do. But then when you take it off that list for that day, the visual of it might make you feel a little better. Mm-hmm. So if you're not there yet to be able to say, this is what is meant to be done, I think that could be another solution. But anyway, I love this conversation. I feel like you and I have just begun. We could go in so many different directions. I always end each episode where I am talking about gratitude, because no matter where we go in these conversations, I think when it comes to happiness and good health, there is a mindful practice along the way that helps you get there. I think that finding happiness through that hardship can be really hard at times. And when you find little things along the way that you're grateful for, if nothing else, it brings a smile. I can say with my cancer journey, has it cured my cancer? Well, no, it hasn't cured my cancer. But have I been able to reflect after many days and find something that I could smile about? Yes. But that is because I have, set this intention, in a sense, that I want to connect with my gratitude on most days. And it all started by playing the grateful game. When my son was 9, I brought home a gratitude journal. I never really used one before. And we hopped in bed and I asked him what he was grateful for and why. And we wrote it down. And I realized it didn't work with our life to have this big book and write it down. So I figured out how it would work with our life. And at the time, it was most nights, lying in bed, lights off, talking about what we were grateful for and why. And what I noticed with that, and if you've heard this before, you've heard me say, is that when you start thinking about gratitude and talking about it, you start to look for it in your day. So it does become a habit and it feels good. And there might be some really rotten days. And okay, so maybe, you know, I would argue maybe you went outside and the sun was shining. There might be little things that might, but if you didn't feel it, then maybe, you know, just maybe days are allowed to be bad. On the same note, there are many days that are meh. And when you think about and try and find something good in it, it might make you feel better. And so I encourage people to try and find a gratitude practice. Some people do it through prayer. Some people do it by playing the gratitude game. Some people talk about it at dinner. Others ask a question in a car ride with their kids. But however it makes sense to you, you know, I ask people just think about it. So I'm throwing it to you, Lauren. Can you tell us today? I believe it's what happened in the last 24 hours. Like, you don't need to go too deep. We know that you're grateful for your kids and your family and your house, but is there something little and unexpected or expected, but that you're grateful for today?
There's so much. I'm going to say one that's, you know, people, it might be a little controversial, but I'm, especially in the last 24 hours, I'm so grateful for social media because it shows me every single day. I allow myself, a lot of people don't do this, but I allow myself like a lot of time to scroll. Okay. To just get it out of my system to scroll, but I intentionally scroll specific pages, specific, you know, profiles. I am so grateful for people who share the truth and share their perspectives on things that I'm looking to understand more of, or that I'm not there. I'm not yet in that season of life. I am so grateful for people who don't hold back, who I love tough love. Like I love that kind of truth, that level of truth, that radical honesty. I'm so grateful for people that do that, that choose to share that. And I'm just so grateful for that because I can get to the end of the day and be, you know, annoyed about something or frustrated about something. And then I go and I have my scroll time and I read a single piece of content. It could even be a single sentence that just puts that thing in perspective for me or gives me the reassurance that, oh, you know, you're not crazy, or there's somebody else that thinks that way or that questions that thing. Like, I'm so grateful for the internet. I know a lot of people hate it and a lot of people have a love-hate relationship, but I'm in this season of life. I'm like 100% grateful for it.
Well, and like everything else in this conversation, we could go a million different directions.
Yeah.
And that's good. And I think social media does have a lot of benefits. I mean, you look at the social good that can come out of, you know, I have raised a lot of money for the Cancer Couch Foundation through talking about metastatic breast cancer and how the Cancer Couch funds research for stage four. And I on so many levels. So I, you know, while I have different philosophies on different platforms, and, you know, the other thing is that our feeds are all curated for good or for bad of things that we tend to scroll on. So if, you know, you could be at a good stage, and if you notice, if you go off social media for a little bit or don't spend a lot of time, when you come back, it might look a little different than it was before. Or if something happens in the world and you read two stories on it, then you're going to get a lot of those. But there are ways that you can change that for those out there that are just like hating it right now. So it serves a lot of purposes for a lot of different people. A lot of entrepreneurs have benefited. You and I wouldn't have met.
No, exactly. I mean, just random. Well, it's not random. It's intentional. I'm a big believer that mostly, I would say everything happens for a reason. There's a lesson behind everything, so to speak. There's a deeper meaning behind everything. I'm a big believer in that. That's something my mom passed along to me and I'm grateful for that too. Yeah. But oh my God. Yeah. I said to my mom the other day, I'm grateful for being a parent in this generation because I have a whole folder saved of fun DIY crafts and activities that I would have never come up with on my own.
Yeah. And then flip to the other side is all the, you know, I say there's a chapter in my book called Google is Not Your Doctor.
Yeah.
So I don't want people to go online to find out information. But I will tell you that just today I went onto my chart, which is the digital chart that, again, is backed by the connectivity of technology today. And I got a report of, from, you know, something in my medical case. I then sent it to my brother-in-law, who's a radiologist, and there's all this technology is helping along and I got the answer that I needed that morning. And that's even before the doctor called me. Now, I don't want people to be searching the internet, going down a rabbit hole, because that can be hard. But that this is about connectivity, not just, right, just that. But anyway, I've loved this conversation. I thank you for your time, for your expertise. And know that, where do you best want people, if they want to connect with you, if they want to learn more about your story and what you offer, where should I have them go to? And I will also have this in the show notes as well.
Yeah, I'm most active on Instagram. I love Instagram. Yeah, you can find all my links to everything in my Instagram bio. Yeah, I have the Dream Life Guide, like you mentioned. We also just really recently launched, it's called the Self-Love Starter Kit. And my whole philosophy, what I want you guys to take away, whoever's listening, is there's really two steps to creating a life that you truly love. And that's, number one, getting crystal clear on what it is that you actually want. And then number two, loving yourself enough to go for that and believing in yourself and believing that you're worthy and believing that you can. So that's kind of my two-part philosophy and the foundation of what I teach.
Well, thank you. It's been great. For all you out there who are listening, we always love your feedback. We always love your thoughts. We always love your questions. So please feel free to reach out. You know, I'm at Pretty Wellness, and I hope that you have enjoyed this conversation and that it's been able to help you in some way find some joy during that journey that you're living in life. So have a great day, and bye for now, everyone. One more thing. I would be so grateful if you'd take a minute to rate, review, and subscribe. You leaving a review helps us with our podcast ranking. The higher we are ranked, the more people can discover our show. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm sending you lots of happiness and great health.